Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Rabbana ya Rabbana, Rabbana ya Rabbana, Rabbana ya Rabbana, Rabbana ya Rabbana. Allah bahut bara hai, Allah bahut bara hai, Allah bahut bara hai.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, we have Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman on this particular session, and it is the 26th of Shaban, 1446. Mufti Hassan Ali, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mulana. How's everything in South Africa?
Alhamdulillah, all is well. How's everything on your side? How's your health doing?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, health is good. Health is good. Weather is good. Getting ready, trying to gear up for Ramadan, inshallah.
Okay, mashallah. Allah accept. And before we go to the actual topic, what's Ramadan like in Pakistan?
Let me be specific.
For us here in South Africa, which we're trying now to get away from, we're creating that awareness, and you know, we have made preparations for Ramadan too much for about savories, so your samosas, pies, all of these things, and many people say that they blame the woman for this, but I say we should look at this thing broader. It's not the woman. The women are looking to make the men and the children happy, and that's what we like. So that's where they're coming in, and they're saying, this is my contribution. If my children, my family are happy, then of course Ramadan is going to be, that's my Ramadan for me as well. It's because that's their rewards, cooking, giving a fasting person, you feeding your own family. These are all rewards, that's true. But the preparations involved in it, Mufti Sahab, you know, you've probably eaten a samosa. I don't know if you really like it or not. But it takes a lot just to make that triangle. And you know, you have to fold it and go in a certain way, and there's a certain rhythm to it, and all of these things. So it's quite, you will say, sensitive. You can't just, no man can just do those things. No woman who hasn't had experience can just do it either. And some women, they curse the woman who invented a samosa. So while speaking about this, in school, we did a particular subject. So initially, we were just like, you know, like doing a subject that's most relaxing and the exams are easy. You tend to look for those things. So this one subject, it's called travel and tourism. So I chose that. And you can't even, so with those days we used to have standard grade, higher grade. Now it's changed. So you couldn't do this subject on a higher grade because it's so standard, there's no higher grade for it. So when I wrote the exam, I was shocked. What beautiful questions, easy questions, meaning. They asked, okay, what's the Indian's favorite food? So they had a multiple choice. So in there, they will give you pasta, and they'll give you all different names. So it's one out of four. You have to choose one. So they, of course, they had samosas. So he said, definitely, that's an Indian's favorite food, samosas. So we take that, you get a mark. Who will know that? So anyway, but the point of the matter is this preparations that goes into it. And is it the same in Pakistan?
Well, I've seen it change over the 30 years that I've been here. Less of the work being done in the house and more of the work being done outside of the house. Okay. So you talk about one person not doing the, not being able to do the samosa by themselves. Well, it's done here, even in the street. Just before Asr time, you'll see restaurants. The restaurants are not open, but on the sidewalk, on the footpath, People have their grills out and everything, and they start cooking.
Okay,
and you can see them making it. And so by the time Asr Namaz is over, the masjid is empty and the street is full. Okay, everybody just finished praying. They're all out in the street buying samosas and all the other things that you want to get at that time. So you'll be ready at iftar time.
Okay.
No one is late for iftar. Okay. You may be late for Fajr. You may be late for namaz, but no one in this city is late for iftar.
That's correct.
If you're a non-Muslim burglar, a thief, the best time to rob is at the time of iftar.
Please don't say that.
But,
you're speaking to South Africans,
I'm sorry.
This is the heart of crime.
It is so quiet. There's no traffic in the street. Namaz time, you know, there's such a rush of cars going, but not going to the masjid. People are driving, you know, their cars, their bicycles, their motorcycles, their rickshaws, buses, and everything. And I'm on my way to the masjid. I'm like, well, where are these people going? I was going to the masjid. Why is it so crowded? But at iftar time, there's nothing on the street. It's complete quiet. So it's changed a lot, especially iftar time. No, sehri time. Sehri time, the women used to get up early, and they would be cooking, and they would have to wake up the children and the fathers, okay, to come, you know, eat on time. But nowadays, people stay up all night. The kids, the teenagers and a little bit older, they stay up all night, and they wake up the mother. Today it's time for sehri. Come on, you gotta start cooking. Completely changed with eating out, like Pizza Hut and KFC, and they have all kind of deals where you can go there for, they have iftar type programs. You can go there for a special price and have a certain amount of food, for as long as you want, this type of thing. And the same for sehri. Some of these restaurants are open from iftar right up to sehri. Okay. And many of them don't have places to pray. We're not talking about tarawih. We're just talking about the basic praying Isha namaz. There's no talk of praying Isha namaz. Just talk about eating and special price. And if you pay with a certain credit card, you'll get 50% off in Ramadan only. This type of stuff. So we're completely commercialized now.
So it's become some entertainment. That's another month of entertainment instead of a month of sacrifice and a month of giving yourself for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It's a completely different type of schedule that you have now, and not because of the fasting, but just the way it is in Ramadan.
I've seen
it's sad. When I first came here, in the mornings, say about an hour and a half, before sehri would be finished, they had people walking around, banging on drums, okay, to wake the people up. All right, especially in the poor areas, where people didn't own houses, or they did own houses, but like that. And now everybody has smartphones, and they're watching on television or something like that, so they know what time to get up, and so it's no problem. It's more individualized. It was less. It's less of a community type thing.
Okay.
Less of a community type thing.
I've seen here in South Africa, you'll see these posters all over. They imagine their vision is even before how the Muslim's vision is supposed to be. So they worried about Eid shopping. And you'll see these festivals that take place, a five-day festival at a particular place. And wild, and sometimes these festivals actually go to the casinos. So right next door is a casino, and here you're having an Eid festival. And everything is, you know, supposedly, this is the main thing that we as Muslimin have to worry about, whether you're in the US, whether you're in Pakistan, whether you're in South Africa, right down in the heart of Africa. Just if you see the whole plan and plot, it's simple. If you just think of ISIS, Islamic State, but nothing Islamic about it. Like this, all the names that have been thrown at us, and we cannot be so naive and just fall for all these things because thinking it to be Muslim, Islamic, or Eid shopping, let's go Eid shopping. There's we've seen the posters and people who have been there, they've sent us, there's actually music that's taking place, they have comedy shows, they'll have a comedy show for Gaza. So it becomes a big joke. Imagine, you laugh, people are dying there, and you're having a good laugh at what's happening. So,
yeah,
priorities have been lost.
It used to be you really worked hard in Ramadan on your fasting and staying away from haram. Still, you see a little bit of it here. For example, the coach, the people who drive the coach, and the man who takes the money there, the conductors, for the 1 month, they'll all wear topis. Okay. when you see people wearing topis that never wear topis, then you know it's Ramadan. Okay, over here. That's definite. But the big thing is, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked forward to, and the Sahaba looked forward to, you know, getting closer to Allah, all right? And the number one thing was, you know, the fasting and the prayers. But here, it is the most important thing is Eid.
Mm.
Okay? It's not Ramadan per se. It's Eid. That is the thing. So the first week of Ramadan, the masjid will be full for Tamari.
Mm.
Okay? And after that, it gets less and less. And what I've noticed is we really do worship for about a week, and then we spend 3 weeks Eid Tayari, getting ready for Eid.
Yes.
We have 5 day and 7 day and 10 day Tarawih places. Okay, so you really work hard for that 1 week and get your Quran khatam. Okay, and then after that, at night, you're able to, the other nights, you're able to go to Tarro, you go to Sutter, and go to the places where you can buy things, your new Eid clothes, your wife's jewelry, and things, and toys for the kids, and what have you. So it's one week of worship, and the 3 weeks of preparing for Eid is pretty much the status quo nowadays.
And that's the worry and the concern for the Ummah, because here is this beautiful month. You have it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this time, this moment, and squandering it, wasting it, letting it go by. And here another issue is also to do with this entertainment, shopping, is that the youth feel, hey, we need to pass some time. We're fasting. It's still so many hours till iftar at least. And what can we do? So they'll go and walk around in the shops, in the malls, and do everything that we're not supposed to do. Whereas our real focus supposed to be is do whatever you need to do now before Ramadan even starts, so that we can spend less time in the malls, spend less time in the shops, and we can get more done on the musalla, in the masjid for the men folk and for the women folk, on your musalla, making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, the month in which the Quran Sharif has been revealed in. So it's all these issues. And another,
here the people, here the younger people, they spend most of the day sleeping, where they feel they can't do anything.
Hmm.
although that's the time you should be reading Quran, right? But we can't do anything. We can't look at the movies and can't listen to the music. So they sleep most of the day. But from once the sun goes down, all right, now they're busy. They're busy eating, okay? They're eating right after. They're eating the iftar, and they're eating a sari. And in between, they may go to the park or a parking lot or a street, turn on the street lights, I mean, the headlights of a car, all right, so they can watch them play football. They can play football, they can play cricket or something like that. So you spend 2 or 3 hours playing cricket or football at night, all right, then you have a nice meal for a sari, and then you just sleep the rest of the day.
Hmm. There was an interesting discussion, and we had, I know Mufti Saab sent me this clip, I'll never forget it. It was a few years ago, probably last year, or the, about an article that you read in the Times magazine, and it highlighted, you gave the comparison. So the way they catch you is they put a nice, beautiful title, so you read it and you say, hey, check, non-Muslims, they fasting, and how they also fast in the month of Ramadan to gain that benefit which they searching for, and of course it's to do with health and losing weight and whatever else it may be. And then so you become so amazed by this non-Muslims actually fasting, but in there they catch you and they say, but see the twist to it now, where Muslims are not fasting. I could never imagine, Allah protect me, Allah protect us all from thinking that we're too pure, whatever it is. But I can't fathom a Muslim not fasting.
Okay, you can't fathom it. But that's definitely not the reality. Definitely not the reality, especially in America. And especially people born into Muslim families who've gone to America. I have a friend who worked in the bookstore at the Darulum in Buffalo, New York. And almost everybody that went to that madrasa were from the Indian subcontinent, although they were probably born in America. Mm. And he said the majority of the students were not fasting. The majority of the children didn't fast. They would pretend to fast and maybe go to university or wherever they were going, leave the house, pretend that they're fasting, but go straight to McDonald's or some other haram restaurant, eat, and then come back home and acted like they have been fasting the whole day. And they're the first people online for iftar. Mm. Okay, so you'll find that the people who have left Muslim countries and gone to America, you'll find that they're afraid to admit that they've become a murtad. Okay, they can't tell their parents. Mm. So that's, yeah, it's a lot. When I was there 30 years ago, and I would talk to the Imam, Imam Saab was from Bangladesh, all right? And I said, where do these people come from during Ramadan when we have iftar in the basement of the masjid? I said, where do these people come from? He said, Hassan, you don't know. These people, they haven't even fasted. All right? I said, but they're the first ones online? Yeah. I said, yeah. So, yeah.
And
you know, I had roommates, okay, who would never pray Fajr.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, they would pray very little, and they were in madrasa, okay, in Darulum Karangi, but they never missed a rosa.
Hmm.
So you have people like that too, okay? Ulama.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's... okay, you're quiet, huh? Never play Can You Top This with me. I warn you.
Yes, you silenced me.
Mic drop. At least once a week, I have to give you a mic drop moment.
Yes, it's been a long time, though. So, and one more thing before we leave you. This, I said we're going to discuss this, so there's just a few minutes left. What's happening in America at the moment? So, I did send you the article yesterday about the vaccines, and I wanted your input on it because, you know, the whole controversial comment of RFK Jr.'s controversial comment about black people not needing the same vaccines as white people. Is this true that black people have better immune systems? Because this is what the person who is going to be, or he is already, health secretary of America, and he said this. Is this true?
But it could be. There are differences between blacks and white. I mean, there's no question about it. Hmm. Blacks in America, get sickle cell anemia. Okay, a disease called sickle cell anemia. Okay, allegedly it's because of using too much salt. Hmm. Okay, but blacks in Africa, some people, salt was their monetary system. We never had a problem with it in Africa, eating salt. But for the most part, only black people get that disease. Hmm. So yeah, there's differences, and I would guess that there's maybe some truth to that. But the fact is, nobody needs the vaccine, not just black people. White people don't need it either.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's killing everybody.
Exactly.
So we might, what he might mean is that we need something stronger to kill us than whites.
But he's anti-vaccine, so is that a good thing?
Yeah, well, that's good, because that's definitely one way that they're trying to control population. I mean, Bill Gates said that. All right, he wants to control the world population, and one way is through vaccines. So, yeah, being that he's against it, I can go with that.
Mm. Lastly, what's the importance, and how do you manage in Pakistan? I know America must have been much more difficult, but managing to eat that which is not what they say is halal, but actually what is 100% and pure. Because we see that this is a major, another concern here, is that we're breaking our fast with that which is many times that which is not even halal, and going to these restaurants which we're not sure of, like KFC, McDonald's. I just heard yesterday, I must actually still verify it, few organizations here, halal authorities, they've pulled out from KFC. I just need to authenticate it before mentioning it. But that's something we say you should be staying away either way, whether it's got the halal certificate or not. And if it did have it and you've been consuming it, then the sin is on them. But how do you manage this? At least the people, how do they manage it?
The way you can manage it is to have a wife that can cook.
Mm.
Okay. A wife that can cook and wants to cook. The problem is our women here, they don't want to cook anymore. They don't even want to make roti anymore. They don't want to make chai anymore. Okay, they want to eat out.
Yeah.
So that is a big problem. But stay away from commercial foods. Buy everything from scratch and make it from scratch. Mm. Right, that's how you do it. That's how we did it in America. Okay, you don't buy anything that has more than two ingredients in it.
Okay.
Okay. You buy just plain flour, plain salt, plain, you know, just like that. Plus, that's it. And then have a wife that can cook and wants to cook.
Hmm.
And has like a network of other women who enjoy cooking and sharing recipes and like that. When your wife learns how to make yogurt, day. And, you know, make yogurt from scratch. And then she can teach your wife all right, your wife can teach this wife, and then you get a little circle, like you have these what's up groups, like we have for Dean, all right, the women can have halal what's up groups, you know, to exchange recipes.
Exactly.
I remember my mother, although she's not Muslim, my mother, she on her table, on our kitchen table, she had a small file box of index cards, okay, with all the recipes that she wrote on it, or that she cut out of the newspaper or magazine, and she pasted it on the index card, and she could just flip through it, and any type of cake she wanted to make, she could make it. Mm. And she would share that with other women, okay? So, yeah, that's how you do it. But the first thing, though, is to get your wife to love cooking, okay? Praise her for cooking, okay? And have you know, then you can do it from there, inshallah.
MashaAllah, good way to look at it, and good. That's the whole thing. In fact, you just raised another topic for another time, inshallah. But how, when I was going through one of our school syllabus here, it's called CAPS. So it's in there, I was just checking, and how they, you know, they manipulate the woman folk to feel bad about what they've been doing all this time. And I found it interesting to see that it was not so long ago. I think it was the 1940s. I actually took evidence of it. I was in the bookstore, and this guy, he was like worried. He's like, "Why are you taking pictures?" And he was just like, disturbed. They were like putting pressure on me to leave, but I said, "This is so nice information, but meantime I need to use it for other for exposing it." So anyway, they put an American female there, 1940s, all happy in the kitchen, and you know, all the aroma and everything, you can't smell it, but you can see the what they put there, the text and the caption. So then they say this, they infiltrate the brain of those reading, and then they make it seem like this is bad. We need equality, equal rights. Women need to go out and work, equal pay. And then it just shows you exactly how they're manipulating our minds. But yeah, Mufti, that will be for another day, inshallah. We're just getting you ready for that. And I know you've got enough American okay. experience.
All right.
So, inshallah, make dua. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.